CliffCentral.com. A very good day. You are still with the Youth Leadership Platform with Bongani Tau as your host, and it's brought to you by Leadership Platform in association with Student Brands. Shout out to Chanel for making it to the studio today. So we wanted to try something with Sashili, and she got me an Afrikaans wedding to say an intro. Yeah. to say. So it's good afternoon, listeners, in English, and it's goeiemiddag vir ons luisteraars. In Afrikaans. And we did this for the showcasing musical talent, because this week we thought, we've given you hip hop, we've given you house, we've given you a lot of variation in terms of the kind of musicians that we've brought to the show. And today we have one for, I couldn't say Afrikaans listeners, but because she's Afrikaans, but because she taps into different cultures and she loves embracing different cultures. We were just having a conversation with her just now about, you know, unity and diversity, and how she wants that to translate into her music. If you're wondering who I'm talking about, you probably have seen her doing a Vulindlela by Brenda Fassie cover, and shot a music video wearing traditional attire, and her name is Zandre. Zandre Bayadanki, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
thanks a lot for coming through.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
So, we usually started off by getting to know you, getting to know the person behind the musician or artist.
Yes.
To be more general. So, who are you?
Well, normally when people ask me that, especially at my shows, because for some or other reason, Zandre is like the weirdest name, nobody can say it. So I go like Zandre, aka Zandile, and then everybody starts laughing, and then the ice is broken. Because I don't know, even like Afrikaans people, it's like they don't even hear it when I say it, and then they'll still just call me like Zandri or Zander, and then I'm like, no, I would not introduce myself incorrectly. So I'm Zandre, and I'm originally from Cape Town, and I've been living in Pretoria for 9 years now. And so I started out in the Afrikaans industry, as you can hear my lovely accent.
Yes, we love it.
Well, the Americans love it. They think it's an awesome accent. Uh-huh. It's fine. And then last year I decided I'm looking for a new challenge. And I love languages. I've always loved languages and cultures. And yeah, so I decided to do an album called Embracing Africa, where I sing songs in Xhosa, Zulu, Sotho, and Shona. And then obviously a few English songs on there as well.
So you know a couple of Shona words?
Yeah, well, I know the song, but I can't speak the language.
Oh,
but
okay.
But obviously the first time I heard the song, I was like, I had to record the song. And then I recorded the song, and then afterwards I went on Google Translate just to see what I'm singing.
What is?
Maybe not. Maybe I must have done that like before I recorded this song. But it's also like all about some guy, like kids smoking weed and stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Jeez.
But they get punished for it, so it's actually a good song. Mm-hmm. The teacher punishes them. So the whole song is where they bunk school, and then the police catches them, and then they take them to the teacher. So the teachers give them a hiding, and then they go like, ay, wee, wee, their bums are burning. So it's actually like an educational song.
So you started singing in competitions at the age of 13.
Yes.
What sparked the interest into moving into the music, not music industry, but to explore the musical side of you?
Well, I've always been singing and taking guitar lessons, and it's just something that I've been, I was like that drama queen kid at when I was in school. And when I was 11 years old, I bought my first sound system, because I did modeling. Like every small kid does, like TV ads and stuff. And my dad opened an account for me, and he's like, well, it's your money, so you can do with your money whatever you want. So as soon as you get paid for your little advert or whatever, then he puts everything in a bank account. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to sing, so the first thing that I bought, or the only thing that I bought, because obviously you don't get that much money doing modeling in South Africa, but especially when you're a kid. But so the first thing that I bought was a sound system. So I was like that kid, when my parents have a bra, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do a show now. So you just have to sit and just watch the show.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. And then when I went to high school, I wanted to sing in the choir, and I was too late for the audition. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to I'm not gonna like not sing for a whole year. So I went to a music school, and obviously the thing that music school do is like they just teach you songs, and then you have to take part in all the competitions and stuff. So but I think the competitions is good because when you're young you don't really know what genre you want to do, but in competitions you have to like take part in every single category. So you can take part in gospel and traditional and jazz, and so it just gives you that feel of all the different kinds.
And
of,
what did
of
all this do to your confidence and your self-esteem of starting out at such a young age?
Yeah, well, obviously you have to bite the bullet and be and not be shy. And so the first few ones is a bit nerve-wracking, and you stress that you're going to remember all the words and all that. But at the end, as I said, I think it's good. I think it's good for all children who want to sing to take part in competitions, just to get the hang of it and try different styles to know which one you want to, because obviously you can't be like try and do anything and make a career out of it. You have to try one, like do one thing and stick to it.
Yes.
So I think it's good. I think it's good exposure and a good platform to start to do competitions. But yeah, I think the
because you're out there, you had to perform, you had to shine.
Yeah, no, it was good. As I said, it gives you a good platform. I think like with big competitions they have these days, the thing is when you get out of that competition, you have a year to prove yourself, because then the next year there's a new winner.
Yes.
So I think that's the big thing that people that get out of competitions, they mustn't get out of the competition and think, oh, well, everybody knows me because I've been on Idols or I've been on The Voice, because you must remember you only have a year, then everybody forgets about you again.
Yes.
So it's very hard work. It's a very tough industry.
So now, you were chosen at this point. You did shine and outshine a lot of people, and was chosen as a student of the year. And as part of your accolades, you went to the World Championships representing South Africa for performing arts.
Yeah.
What was the experience like for you?
I said to a lot of people that ask me, do you think it's worth it? And because it's a lot of money you have to pay to go to that. It's not something that if you're chosen then you go for
then
free.
You go, yes.
Like any sport, actually, like anything that you, I mean, sports these days, you get chosen but you have to pay for your own trip, so or you have to get sponsors or whatever. So it was a good experience. I think the people that do modeling there, because obviously the World Championships of Performing Arts has all different categories, so they have acting and instrumental and the modeling and whatever,
yes,
dancing and I was helping my friend because she broke her arm just before the competition, and she's like, well, I already paid all the money, so I'm just gonna go anyway and just like try to do the modeling and stuff with my like broken arm. And so I was helping her dress backstage for all the categories that she had to do. And one of the girls that has done the competition a few times, she came to me and she's like, yo, don't leave the dresses here, because the girls get so jealous of each other, they cut like holes in inappropriate places.
What?
Just so that you can't compete in that category, because then you don't have a dress to wear or whatever. So I think it teaches you to cope with different kind of people that really doesn't want you to succeed in what you're. But as I said, that specific competition, if you don't have the money to move there, you're like your whole family to pack up, then I would say it's really a lot of money just for exposure, or just for to get that your what do you call it? Experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens at that is you have scouts through all the categories. You have different scouts. And then at the end of the competition, they have like this big room with like big boards and stuff where they have like little sticky notes. And if your name is on there and then the agent's name is underneath, then there's like different tables with the agents sitting there. And then you have to go see the different agents. So if you're not willing to literally like pack up your whole family and move there, if there's agents that says, okay, well, we see potential, and because you have to move there to go to all the different auditions and stuff for the movies and whatever.
Yes.
So then I would say it's a lot of money just to
get to an move
experience.
There. Yeah.
But it was a good experience, and it was nice, obviously, meeting the different scouts and just getting that boost that people actually think you, that you're good or whatever.
They like what you do.
Yes, but
And it paid off, because you could use that experience now into getting into the music industry.
Yeah.
And you knew that it was going to be competitive, it was going to be tough.
Mm.
there were going to be a lot of changes that are very uncomfortable,
yes,
for you to transition into, to be able to make it in the industry. And you started making Afrikaans music.
Yeah.
Performed at a lot of local shows, and did a lot of amazing things. So why did you choose to make Afrikaans music specifically?
I think Afrikaans was just like the... because when we were young, nobody listened to Afrikaans music. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think it was like Steve Hofmeyr and René Jeru and G. Korsten, and that was Afrikaans. Like,
the usual suspects.
You didn't have like you didn't have like Francois van Cooke, and like you didn't have that different kind of genres. It was just like those few people, and everybody's like, oh, Afrikaans music is boring. And so obviously when I was in matric, Afrikaans music started to escalate, and there was all different kind of genres and stuff. So it actually just begun, and that's why I moved from Cape Town to Pretoria, because the industry was up here. There wasn't even an industry in Cape Town. There wasn't even Afrikaans radio station in Cape Town. Like, yes. No Book Radio and all that stuff is like massive there, but you didn't have that. So so obviously Afrikaans was like the obvious choice, so because there isn't a lot of people that sing Afrikaans, and it's like, okay, let's do that. And obviously it's my home language. And,
yes.
But this is my 10th year and that I did Afrikaans music, and it was very, very fun. But as I said, I needed a new challenge, and I needed something that would inspire me a bit, because it's easier for me to do Afrikaans, but it's a challenge for me to learn all the different songs now that I'm doing now, and actually making a difference doing it. Where with Afrikaans, I don't really stand out between all the other people.
So now we get into the transition, which is very beautiful, that you started somewhere and you stuck to something, and you felt the need for more challenge. So now with transitioning from Afrikaans music to the kind of music that you're doing now, what sparked that? Because you could have done anything else. You could have moved into popular music or jazz or hip hop, whatever you felt the need to do.
Yeah.
But why this kind of music? And how would you describe
the kind of music
that you
genre
make now? Yes.
Okay. So what happened was I just started singing Vulindlela. I got a backtrack from a friend, and I was like, oh, this is a nice song. It's a song everybody knows, and it's just I did like Waka Waka in my show, because that was like in 2010. It was like one of the songs you have to learn it, because everybody knows it, everybody wants to hear it. And then I thought, okay, but I need something else that will go with the African vibe, because as soon as the people do Waka Waka, then they want to. Then they're in that vibe. So I was like, okay, well, I'm doing the Afrikaans show, and then I end off with Waka Waka, and then maybe just another song. And then I got this track from a friend, and we were a few girls just singing it. So everybody had like a verse that you had to sing, and then sing the chorus together. And then at my shows, obviously, when I'm alone, then I was like, okay, well, now I have to learn the whole song. And so I did that, and all of the people were like, if I sang that, then they're like, don't you know the pata pata, and don't you know click song, and don't you know all the other stuff that obviously they know as well, because it's like songs that you grew up with. Like, you don't know, you know, it doesn't have to be your culture, you just know it.
It's part of our heritage as South Africa.
And so I was like, okay, cool, that's something that I'd like to learn, because obviously I had Khoza, when Khoza was one of the subjects that you had to have in our school, in our primary school and our high school. And so I was like, okay, it can be easy. I know how to do the click stuff. So I asked my domestic worker. She speaks Zulu, Khoza, and Sotho. And I was like, listen, you just teach me the words quickly and the pronunciation, so that I can just, I don't want to fluke someone. I want to say the words right, you know.
Yes.
I don't want to sing something and everybody's like, "Oi, yo."
So, what is she saying now?
And so we started doing that, and it just escalated, now I actually, I don't know really what the genre is that I'm doing. It's something that I can dance easy to. It's like when I hear a song, I'm like, can I dance to it? I'm standing in the studio and dancing to it, because obviously for me as a white girl to sing house, I don't know if I can pull that off. Like, it's, I don't know how to move on that. So I needed something that will still, so with my kind of songs, like even if there's white people, they like, they catch the groove. So I can't make this huge transition and then everybody that has supported me for 10 years is like, we don't know where this is coming from.
What are you doing now?
Yeah. Mm. And so obviously I love to dance. I love to shake it. And part of my show is like calling people up and they teach me like the lacquer dance moves that you guys do. So, so yeah, they enjoy me interacting with them, and like they obviously like to see me try, even if I'm not always doing it correctly.
And I saw with the music video for Vulindlela that you shot. First things first, I heard the song, and I knew it was a cover because I know how Brenda Fassie sounds.
Yeah.
And then I turned and looked at the screen, and I saw a white lady, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is interesting. And how you articulated every single word, a person sitting and listening could tell that this person has put in time and effort, and they want to do this, you know, they love doing what they're doing now. And so with your fourth and latest album, Embracing Africa, let's talk a bit about diversity. Yeah. Why is that important to you, as you were saying?
Well, what we're doing now, and this is this is something that's very important to me. 2 years ago, my friend's daughter, she was standard grade nine, and she committed suicide. And then I went to schools and I was like, what's happening in the schools that a girl at that age would want to shoot herself? Like, why is this? What is happening? Mm-hmm. And then most of the principals and stuff that and people that I spoke to, most of them were like, it's a huge problem in our schools, bullying. Even if it's on social media or if it's, I spoke to a principal on Saturday, and he said to me, a boy got hit so bad he's in the hospital because he was poor. The people bullied him because he didn't have socks on, because he took his socks off the morning for his brother that's in primary school, so that he wouldn't be bullied. And then the guys made fun of him, and they were sitting on him and they were punching him just because he was poor and he didn't have a school bag, so he has a plastic bag with his and it's a white boy. So it's not like it's happening to everybody. It's not like it's a racist thing, or it's just people look down on each other, and it starts with the youth. And and my domestic worker, she helps me with her album, and she helps me with the translations. If I have an original song that I wrote in Afrikaans, she translates everything for me. And she has two albino children. They're in the music video as well, dancing with me, Bantu and Tami. And she's also the lady in the music video. That's their mother. Yes. She's like, and I spoke to her as well, and they get bullied and they get looked down upon because they're albino and make fun of, and they don't really. We took them now to an albino school, a school for albino and people that are blind or short sighted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the first day that Bantu walked into the school, he was like, oh, I don't know, I had so many brothers and sisters. He was like, oh, I'm fitting in with like that. And so what we're doing with this album now, and that's where the diversity and stuff comes in, is we're trying to make a difference with the youth, because the situation that's going on in South Africa at the moment about racism, and I heard you speak earlier about the Fees Must Fall and all that stuff.
Yes.
It's hard to change an adult's mind because they've been through the apartheid and they've been through all that stuff, so they have that anger and grudges. And but I feel for the youth like us. I mean, I was grade one when Nelson Mandela became president, so I didn't know anything about apartheid. Like, I was like, it wasn't something weird to me. It wasn't. We were friends with schools, with everyone. We didn't have that. So I feel to psych up the children now about getting together, learning each other's cultures, being friends and just respecting each other is a lot easier than to try and change all the adults' minds, because it's something that I can't relate to what they went through.
Yes.
But I feel it's wrong for adults as well to print this picture in a young child's mind, because it just makes life so much worse and complicated. Because in school, you have to sit next to whoever that you sit to, and you have to have lunch with whoever, and you have to make friends, and you have to, and if you after school, you have to be in a job with every single culture. You can't then say, oh no, I don't sit at that desk with that. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to the schools now, and it's a, like, Embracing Africa project. We talk about, like, more about anti-bullying than try to do the racial thing. But we talk about anti-bullying, and just to, because it's so easy. I mean, on Vuleng Lela's music video, it's so easy for people. They take me out and they're like, your pronunciation and Brenna Fassie will turn in a grave. And you get that. And then you get other people like, wow, yes, someone's positive, someone's thinking outside the box, someone's actually embracing the different cultures. And so it's just to make that transition is hard for me, because obviously I knew I'm going to get a few hate mail and people that think I'm crazy. But if I see the hope in the youth's eyes, and how when I sing at the school and after my little speech where I tell them about, like, being friends and, like, just
embracing each other,
just try to just find out what's happening in that guy's life that he has to come to school with a plastic bag and not a school bag. Don't just judge and make fun of him because of whatever, the socks or the old school clothes, because he had to buy at the school bag or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can just help your friend rather than, and come up for him when he's in a situation or she's in a situation where someone is bullying you before the child gets to a stage where he wants to commit suicide or she wants to commit suicide in such a young age.
What can your listeners and your loyal fans expect from Embracing Africa?
Well, we're building the show now. So, I got a djembe player now, Vic. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome working with new people, obviously meeting new people and getting someone that's willing to grow with me in this. So, the show's fun. I really interact with the people. And as I said, I make fun of myself. If I'm not dancing correctly, I call someone up and, like, they show me how to move my body. And so we're actually just making it a fun show. And as I said, yes, obviously some of the songs maybe I sing with a bit of an accent, but the kind of positive comments that I get out of it is more than the negative comments, and that's what's keeping me going. So I really like that.
So quickly, before we close, what kind of advice would you give to Azandre out there who's still young and has 11 languages at their disposal and people from different cultures that they need to mingle with and learn their cultures and things like that?
Well, I think the big thing is just respect, because you want someone to respect you. And I mean, it says in the Bible clearly that you must treat other people like you want to, like, treat yourself. So, how do you want people to treat yourself? So, I just think, even if you, it's impossible to learn every single language. I tell people all the time, because they're like, why aren't you learning the Khoza? And then I say to them, okay, but I'm singing in so many different languages. So obviously, which one do I study first? Mm-hmm. But I think if you make friends, ask them what does hello mean, or you can see when you get to a place and you just greet someone in their language and you ask them what language you speak, and you just how do you say, is that in English, you stel belang, how do you say that, anyway, but just for you to take note of the fact that they have a different culture, it is already just a form of respect. And if you don't have respect for each other, then as I said, you're going to make the life very, very, very complicated for yourself. So even if you can just greet your friend in whatever, you don't have to speak the language, obviously, but it is nice just to reach out to people.
Very lovely. So it's been a pleasure to host you and to have you on the show. How do people get a hold of you on social media?
The Facebook is Zandre SA, and then Instagram is Zandre_SA, and then on Twitter, unfortunately, Zandre SA was taken. No, I can't change it. So it's X Zandre X. Mm-hmm. Like at X Zandre X Swinky. Kiss Zandre Kiss. So and then obviously if you forget all that, you can just go to www.sandre.co.za.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. To our listeners out there, integration from a racial point of view and across the board, it's very important for the progression of this country. The race card has been played a lot. It's done. It's mm-hmm. done now. We need to come together and build a South Africa that everyone can be proud of, and where kids do not even have to be conscious about what's their color, what the color of their skin, or where they grew up, and things like that. Stop putting people in different categories, but come together and become a united South Africa that our great leaders fought and laid down their lives for. follow the Youth Leadership Platform conversation on the YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, and Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. From Zandre, Bongani Tao, Sashili, and the rest of the team, we will see you next week at 2 p.m. on the Youth Leadership Platform on cliffcentral.com.
Central.com.